So up next, we've got Vijay Prashad, who's going to give us a take of what's going on inside the negotiation rounds and what's up for grabs there. Welcome, Vijay.
Thanks for having me, Tammy.
Yeah, so, you know, in one of the articles that you have written before or in a conversation I've heard you say, in Cancun, there was a 22-nation third world bloc around agriculture, and that was at least a hopeful sign in terms of some organized presence of progressive countries, or at least countries in opposition to the U.S. and U.S. bogarting around the trade agreements, along with countries like Australia and other European nations. What do you see going on here in Hong Kong?
Well, already before the meeting in Hong Kong is set to begin on the 13th, the group of 20, led this year by the Brazilian foreign minister, have made it very clear that they are not going to permit the group of eight to conduct what they call the 3AM deal. The 3AM deal is something that was discussed in the 1990s before Seattle, where the group of eight countries, the advanced industrial states in Europe, Japan, and the United States, would scuttle the discussion conducted by the 148 countries in the large hall. They would meet privately in a suite of a hotel, and at 3 a.m. in the morning, they'd cut a deal and say, this is what's going to happen, or, you know, screw you all, and they would push forward their agenda. So a group of 20 in Seattle, for the first time, emboldened partly by what was happening on the streets and being pushed in their own countries as well, decided to take a position at Seattle. Seattle wasn't their greatest moment. Their greatest moment was Cancun 2 years ago, where during the Doha round, which is the current round of the World Trade Organization, the group of 20 decided we are not going to stand for any more favoritism, particularly on agriculture, for Europe and the United States, and therefore we're going to stop the proceedings. So what essentially happened at Cancun, which was the previous meeting, was that the WTO could not go forward with its this current round of negotiations. So in Hong Kong, the group of eight, the main advanced industrial countries, led this time by Great Britain, by the United Kingdom, the group of eight has said, we have a large vision for a Marshall Plan for Africa, etc. In other words, the group of eight went on a public relations offensive starting a year and a half ago with the British government in the lead, no surprises there. Britain always playing sort of the, you know, the straight man for the G8. The British government in the lead, the British government said essentially that we are going to do right to Africa particularly. They concentrated on Africa. Because as far as Britain is concerned, if they can wean the African bloc away from Brazil, India, etc., then they might be able to crack open the G20. But they've not been successful. South Africa has held off the British offensive. Mm. And the British essentially said that we are going to provide an aid package for Africa and the Third World. That was the first option. This has not gone very well, this first option of the so-called Marshall Plan for Africa, and the G20 is held together. It appears very likely from the statements made by the Brazilian foreign minister in the lead-up and from statements made in India that they will not allow the agricultural situation to continue as it is. I just want to say one more thing about that, and that's this, that you see, what the G8 countries, what the advanced industrial states are offering are aid packages. What the group of 20 are demanding are better relations for trade. So in other words, the group of 20 says, we don't want charity. We don't want you to, you know, take care of the debt problem that we have today. We want to make sure we can trade equitably so that we don't continue to go into debt to you. So this is a fundamental difference between charity and between creating a reasonable relation to continue economic ties between, say, Europe and Brazil, India and the United States, Bangladesh and the United States, etc. So there's a fundamental gap between the G20 and the G8, and that is what's at issue inside the halls in Hong Kong from the 13th to the 18th.
Well, as always, Vijay, it's quite a bit of information. I think this is really important because as important as it is on what's going on outside in terms of having people show their solidarity in terms of the protests in the streets, that I remember being in Seattle, and one of the most important things we were able to do was open up enough room from what was going on outside by demonstrations, opening up enough room for third world countries like Cuba, you know, to take lead and take over on splits going on inside the negotiations. So it's important to get both what's going on outside as well as inside.
That is true. Just, you know, to take that forward in two directions. One direction is, of course, it is the protests on the street that forced the G20 to come public. Exactly. And by the way, this year is the first time the Indian Parliament conducted a full-scale debate on Hong Kong prior to the summit. Every other time, the debate was conducted after the delegation with some proposals. This is the first time they had a full debate before the summit. And that shows a little bit of what democracy in the streets has made these countries respond to. And the second thing is, you're quite right about Cuba, but you know, keep in mind, at Durban, everywhere Castro went, he got a standing ovation. And Castro never gets a standing ovation because of who he is, but because he represents Cuban Revolution. So the truth is that, yes, the protests in the street open things up. But there's one major difference of opinion here, and that is that on the streets there's a slogan to close down the WTO. This is a position that requires some debate, I think, and some serious discussion. Because the WTO might end up being the only place where the group of 20 and then the group of 77, any public space where they can negotiate as a bloc against the group of 8. Otherwise, what the Americans and the Europeans have been doing since the Cancun round failed is they've been conducting bilateral deals with countries and putting immense pressure on countries because of the unequal relations of power to make them sign on to inequitable treaties. So it may not be such a good idea to cavalierly demand the end to the WTO. The WTO might be one of the few demand spaces, struggle spaces for the 148 countries to duke it out face to face rather than, you know, in the back room.
Well, as always, you know, Vijay, we should have you on another show to talk more about this. Thank you so much. This is Vijay Prashad, Associate Professor of the International Studies at Trinity College. Look for his forthcoming book, Darker Nations, The Rise and Fall of the Third World.